Psalm 147, verse 7, it says, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion." Yeah. So what's Zion?
Yeah.
Zion is the church coming down.
Yeah.
Zion starts as local church, but then we begin to birth Zion, and Zion infiltrates through sons and daughters into every area, every domain.
Yeah.
That's Zion. Then the third step is we reveal the kingdom.
Yeah.
But see, people haven't got beyond church.
Yes.
So you know, this is where I want you to hear the word, because if you hear the word is from me is not the infallible word of God. The word coming from me should contain a fair dimension of the infallible word of God. But it's conceptual. So as we grasp the concept, the spirit of it, we can become the base that we're meant to be.
Yes.
It's reaching out into the city, reaching out into the schools, not just ministering, you know, social justice, but bringing the kingdom of God in every domain.
Amen.
This is Zion. One of the prophets, John Alexander Dowie, who was born in Australia, and was a congregational minister who started, who was active in the temperance movement in Melbourne, became John Alexander Dowie, the revivalist and healing ministry, so powerful in the prophetic, and took the concept of Zion to an extreme and went and built a city called Zion, Illinois. So, you know, we need to understand when the Bible's talking about Zion, it's talking about a base of operation where we can govern in the spirit particularly, you know. And as we come on this journey together, we can really go, wow, the church is actually becoming like Zion. Because one of the dreams that God gave me right back, you know, around the time where he gave me the dream of the date of our appointment, I woke up, looked at it, and it says, when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. How you could, if you could possibly understand what I just said, and that spiritual energy in that, you would not be sitting there, you'd be standing on your chair shouting. But a lot of this stuff can be disclosed to us. Psalm 147, verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. Do you know what? This is how I think. I think base. Strong leadership. Sons and daughters. Prophetic. And as it goes out into the region, we speak life. We speak revival. We speak awakening. We bring down the prophetic word from our spiritual fathers that have been delivered here in the past, and we speak life. This is Zion. Psalm 110, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Now, Zion, you know, people identify Mount Zion as the mountain that David took where the temple was built. Out of Zion. But do you know what? The church, the true apostolic church, wherever it's built in the nations, according to the blueprint that comes down from above, is like Zion. And the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Man, when we stand and pray as a church, the rod of our authority is going out into the city, into the homes, into the families. This is where you've got to come with me. Sometimes, honestly, it can be like trying to drag a corpse with you. When you can labor over the word, which is not my own word, or part of it. But, you know, people can treat the word with disdain, familiarity. You know, they didn't honour the prophets that were sent to them. They didn't honour the men of God. Australia has been shocking at honouring the prophets. Psalm 126, when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion. We are like them that dream. Then our mouths filled with laughter. It's about time to laugh. It's time to laugh. I've been smashed like you wouldn't believe by demonic powers. I have been knocked around. I've been buffeted. I've actually been stoned. Not by drugs. I've had death threats. I've had the vilest of texts sent to me in the last fortnight. I tell you, I'm on fire.
Yes.
It's a good sign. Everybody's looking for everything just to be perfect, cozy. Just make sure that the message is over by 11:30 and I'm the happiest man on earth. Hey. That's not Zion. That is the church of convenience.
Yes.
You know, I spoke to my dear father-in-law last night and he said, oh, about 90 people at church last night. But wow, Easter and Christmas, we get free services with 400. That's the problem.
Yes.
That's religion.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to come back and return our hearts to Zion.
Yes.
You've got to get this. You've got to get there with me because we can do this.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, you know, I just know this. I'm called. I'd be dead if I wasn't. I'm called. God sent me to you.
Yes.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Send me a card occasionally. A bit of the folding stuff in there would help too. I mean, come on, Jesus sent me to you. I'm talking to you, Dave. No. So Dave's got a bit of Scotsman in there, so no, it's all right. It's all right. I'm just getting him ready for the next stage in his life. Hey, have a listen. What was that? Anyway, how do I get people back? Micah, what does it say in Micah? What was that prophetic word you bought? Yep. This is good. You good?
Yeah.
God's building a base.
Yeah.
You can call it what you want, but, you know, you've got to be able to say, you know, when people go, who are you? What would you say? Who are you? I've never met you before. What's your story? All right. Anita, who are you? Where do you come from? What's your story?
Come from City Builders Church.
Yeah.
We're here to restore, reconnect and rebuild.
And in general, take over.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God is about takeover. So you've got to know who you are. You can't be vague.
Just
I want you to think like this. When we left our denomination, it was hilarious, actually.
Don't.
No, you were onto it then. You were onto it then. We left our denomination so we could move into the apostolic move. Best thing we've ever done. God bless them. We're friends now. A lot of those guys are coming back to me and saying, why is it working for you? Because God chose me. Been very open with you. You got that scripture?
Micah 2, verse 12 and 13.
I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely collect the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall swarm with men and hum with much noise. The breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate and go out through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head.
That was a prophetic word she bought, and I believe it's spot on because it talks about the gathering together of a remnant, gathering together so they're like a focus group, and with that comes the breaker. And the breaker is who? Jesus, the apostle of our faith, the captain, the leader. So he's the one. Hey, just listen to this. I read this in the scripture last night, Isaiah 11:11. Whenever I see that, it goes ding, 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 ding. The Lord shall set his head again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. He's going to gather into the base. You know, like David's mighty men, they're going to gather into the base. Hey, we're just a group of, you know, different people gathered in a convention center today. But in the future, as we move forward, as we capture the word and as we pray into the word, God is going to gather the remnant, those who have truly found Christ, and they will be, they will carry that breaker anointing. You like that? That's the future for us. So God's building his church. We're his co-laborers. As we partner with God, we're birthing Zion. In other words, it's moving out. As we pray, because God's raised us, things are changing in the spirit. And he is revealing his kingdom. Do you know, as it gets darker and darker in the earth, that's our time.
That's right.
As it gets darker in the earth, don't get fussed about it. God knew this. God knew this would happen. Nothing's gone wrong. It's all actually right through the scripture that this would happen. But God raises up churches that are like lighthouses. Where people can really come and not just come to church, but they can return to Zion. They can come to a place where their lives will, you know, can be discipled and where they can be trained and launched. You know, some of you cannot. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. It's an awful thing to say, some of you. But some people can't move through because of their so strongly held mindsets. That their culture put there, their family put there. And it's sometimes, you know, you can hear a word and it's like that word is for everyone else in the room, but it's not for me. And, you know, I've learned to do this. I've learned to do this largely through struggling with different things. When the prophetic word goes out, I almost jump out of the seat and go, that is my word. And that's why I can still stand. So that's the introduction, because at the end of this year, I want you to know that this is an apostolic church. We're under apostolic government. It's actually another apostle coming here in about 3 or 4 weeks. His name is, they call him Apostle John Alley. And he'll talk about, you know, a lot of this kind of stuff as well. But, you know, we're under somebody's authority. There's a presiding apostle over my life. You have leadership over your life. Now, this is the second aspect of the apostolic call. This is what the scripture says in Mark 11:17. If you write that down, it says, my house. Say this after me. My house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it something else. And in that's Matthew 21, verse 13, it says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. This is what Jesus said. And, you know, when the church moves away from the apostolic foundation, it's become something other than what God intended it to be. And, you know, we're all imperfect. This church is not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect leader. But God's bringing us back to the foundations. So in 11:17, it says it better. It says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. You know? And that's a pretty cool thing. The one of the foundational pillars of the church is the way it prays. And there is a call to prayer. You know, I've been going back over the last couple of nights. Linda and myself have turned off the TV and put on the old revivalist preachers. Man, it's great. And Derek Prince speaks prophetically. He says, if the church, this is 30 years ago, in America will pray, the nation can be healed. If it doesn't pray, do you know what the church stopped doing? Praying. And they moved away from the apostolic foundations to a more contemporary move
Yeah.
Where it all became about the people sitting in the seats rather than the God in heaven.
Yeah.
And the nation has come under siege.
Yeah.
The apostolic call on the house has a lot to do with prayer. If we don't get the prayer part of our life right, nothing else is going to work well.
Yeah.
We'll move from apostolic thrust to maintenance.
Yeah.
And this is what the church has happened in the land. So excuse me, this is a bit more like Bible college. The apostolic call on the house. There must be an apostolic thrust that goes out into the city and in the region and even touches the nation.
Yes.
The city builders church.
Yeah.
You know, God is absolutely doing something amazing. Here, Lynn and myself have been talking about it this week. During the last move of God that happened in 1999, here it was like something just exploded. Pastor Ron Folks came and gave us a brick. And it was one of the historical bricks of Sale. And it had Sale written in it, and he said, "This is the foundation stone of your city." Remember it?
Yes.
Lynn has got the brick. She very much said, took it, you know, with the perspective that God is going to give me my own home, which he did during that time. Supernaturally, God gave us a home.
Wow.
And at the same time, the seed was sown that we would become City Builders Church.
Yes.
An apostolic base for the city and the region.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
What I believe.
Yeah.
So the apostolic thrust is going out into the city as we build the base.
Yeah.
It's like as they built the temple, it became the place, it became spiritual headquarters.
Yeah.
The king ruled from there, from Mount Zion.
Yeah.
It became the base of operations. So the apostolic thrust from there goes out into the region. The thrust comes from the prayer movement.
The thrust
comes from the prayer movement. They're in one place and they're in one accord. They're in the upper room and they prayed, and down it came the Holy Ghost with tongues and fire and pushed them out into the region, into the nation.
Yeah, awesome.
This last 2 years, I've had the opportunity of preaching right on St. Thomas's Mount, where Thomas the Apostle was martyred. He was the doubter, you know. He said, unless Jesus puts his, you know, unless I can put my fingers in his hands and in his side, I won't believe. Next thing, he has an encounter with God, and he says, "My Lord and my God." And the apostolic thrust pushed him out into southern India. The rest of India is shut down to the gospel, or very difficult. But there is a Christian stronghold where that apostle went.
Yeah.
And he had a mountain. It's called St. Thomas Mount now, but he used to go there to meet Jesus every day on that mount.
Yeah.
He used, and when the Hindus came after him to take his life, he ran to his meeting spot where he met the God that he served with everything in him. Man, I stood right on that place and preached for the nation. So cool. The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray."
Yeah.
How do we pray? Have you ever asked God that thing, you know? We know we've got to pray, huh?
Yeah.
And we have these prayers. They're like throw-up prayers, you know?
Yeah.
God, give me some money. I need to pay the gas bill. God, do this. God, help me with my work. These are not national transformation prayers.
Yeah.
These are prayers that revolve around personal need, and for that reason we get yes, no, or maybe. We'll sort it out yourself. But in every season, and this is really important, in every season, we have got to learn how to pray in that season. In every season, we have got to learn to pray in that season. In other words, when it comes harvest season, it's time for harvest, there is no point in praying over the seed you've put in the ground, because it's either there or not. So you've got to identify the season. The sons of Isaac, they knew the seasons. We are called to prayer. An apostolic, a church with an apostolic call on it is called to authoritative governmental prayer.
Right.
Yeah. So it's different to the, you know, God meet my need. I used to pray every year that Collingwood would win the premiership. And when I finally stopped, we won one. Stupid prayer, but I was a kid. So it's sort of like my example of a throw-up prayer. So I want to focus this morning more on the call, the spiritual warfare, because this is a dimension of the call on our life. Because we're at war.
Yeah.
It's a bit hot in here, doesn't it? Not the preaching, is it? Let me ask you a question. Close your eyes for a minute. We'll just practice something.
Well, Michael will get set for a year.
Come out in Jesus' name. He's right now. Should have been watching Derek Prince. If you could look into the spirit right now, like a television screen, what would you see? Close your eyes just for a minute. What would you see? So, Father, just open our eyes up a bit to what's really going on in there. Help us. What's going on over my life, over my family, and particularly over our sin? In Jesus' name. It's that simple. Now, I don't know what you saw, but my life changed 18 months ago.
Yeah.
In September, I went to India, and we'd been in one absolute war here. Remember it?
Yeah.
You know, when our chief warrior lady, Heidi, went out into the plebiscite, picked a fight like you wouldn't believe. But in September, I was like, whoa, I'm in a fight. And then I got up into the plane, and I was flying to India with Pastor Shay, and I was asleep. And it was like, when I woke, I could see back over Gippsland and over the nation. It was like a dogfight. It was like I really saw it. I can't say I saw angels and demons and all that, but I thought, this is a furious fight for the future of our nation. So sort of like, you know, that dream happened. And then there was another dream where I was in our own house, and I dreamt that there was dogfight going on over us, like a real spiritual warfare. And all our sons and daughters are walking out there and they're looking at this. You were out there saying, what the heck's she doing out there? Get back inside. This is serious. That's what happened in my dream. Get back in.
Yeah.
And I think the house is symbolic of the covering and the protection.
Yeah.
But it was like we were all going, this isn't really what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. It was a dogfight, and I want to say to you this morning, we are in a battle.
Yeah.
It's a cultural war on the ground, but the cultural war on the ground is a reflection of the battle in the heavenlies.
Yeah. Yeah.
The battle is in the heavenlies. Say that with me.
Battle.
The battle is in the heavenlies. Have you got any kids that are not doing what they should? Where is the battle? In the heavenlies. Have we got people in our city that are reacting? Where is the battle? In the heavenlies. So we've got to realize that the battle is in the heavenlies, and we can't win the battle man to man on the ground unless first we win the battle in the heavenlies. You've got to win it there. And this is real. Now, this is what you've got to do, because sometimes when you're a pastor, this is what you see. You preach. All right, now I'm watching all the kids this morning. We're doing church, and they're all around the corner playing with their phones and their iPads and their stuff, and they're not engaging. Danger. Now, I'm not saying that you should change that, but you've got to be onto it, Mum and Dad. Because departure from the way of truth starts there, right under our nose.
Yeah.
Why? Because there is a battle going on.
Yes.
There is a cultural war on the ground. Say that, a cultural war on the ground. But there is a spiritual battle in the heavenlies.
Yes.
Is this right?
Yes.
So if you can take the picture of the battle in the heavenlies and you can talk to your children about actually what is going on in the heavenlies, they can begin to understand you.
Yeah.
The sooner you can start that discussion, the better. Because
when
Julian and Simon used to come into our house, I was already at war on my own. You know, in the spirit realm. I'd fought a few good fights and I was right in it. And I used to say to Julian, "What do you reckon's going on here? Remember those days?"
Yep.
And I would interview him because I wanted to make him think in line with what is happening in the heavenlies.
Yeah.
See, if you don't know, Mum and Dad, what is going on in the heavenlies, you're going to have no chance with your children. Because this doctrine that is being poured out in the school, you can call it indoctrination, can only be undone by the apostles' doctrine.
That's right.
Otherwise, we have a mixture. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Maybe you're gay, maybe you're not. Maybe you're this, maybe you're that. But, you know, the apostles' doctrine is black and white. Either it's truth or it's not. So, you know, in that time over there, it was like God opened it up for me, and since then it's been clearer and clearer and clearer coming in. I want you to say this, that we are at war like never before. So you don't have to say this, but this is a reality. The occult is growing at exponential rate. You know, while the millennials are backing out of church because, you know, drug, sex, and rolls, and rock and roll sounds far better, and a life that is sustained by the government, you know, it looks totally better, it feels better, so they're backing out. But at the same time, there's a spiritual void in them. So now, in America, one of the occultic religions, the numbers have passed 1.6 million people active, which is more than the whole Presbyterian denomination, which is a big denomination in America. The occult. We are at war.
Yeah.
You know, there is occultic activity going on in our city, in our region. You know, this is happening in every city, every region, and it all is under the radar. Mum and Dad never know about it. And the way that the systems of this world are being structured now, you are never going to know what is being said to your children. It's a dogfight. And see, what we try and do is we try and win it on the ground. You know, when Heidi went out, I got really scared. I saw my daughter out there getting hammered. And I saw the battle in the spirit. We hadn't won it there. Freaked me. We've got to come back and realize that the battle is in the
heavenlies.
The battle is in the
heavenlies.
And we've got to win it there.
Yes.
So the huge growth in the occult. I want you to know how aware are you? How tuned in are you? How on it are you? Because God has planned that you would be his sharp sword. Prophesied over my daughter Renee this week in the prayer meeting, who is Isaiah 49, said, "The Lord has made you my sharp sword." You know, we've got to train our kids not for the world. We've got to train them to be a sharp sword. And, you know, you can't wait till they're 12 or 13 saying, "Now I'm going to teach you to be a sharp sword." You've already missed it. You've got to start earlier than that.
You've
got to know what they're thinking. You need the prophetic. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Not upset with anyone. I'm crazy wanting to break into our kids' lives so I can get them across the line.
Yeah.
And you know, when the parents fail, guess who it comes back on? I don't talk about mum and dad being a rat. I talk about the church. I talk about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to win it.
Yeah.
Yes.
For your sake.
Yeah.
For your kids' sake.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this real, Dion?
Yes.
Very real. Hey, the devil wants your kids.
Yeah, that's right.
He wants your kids, wants your two boys. Any incomplete work in the parents will, the devil will finish it off in your kids. The apostolic call on the house is to come back to this governmental authoritative prayer. So we need to understand, you know, so I want to start a bit early this morning, the heavenly places. I want you to know that there is a battle going on.
Yeah.
And I want you to know how you can engage effectively as a mum and dad, as a member of this church. And if you can see it, I got Archie the other day and I started talking about it. He said his eyes went. Talking about how, you know, a third of the angels fell out, were thrown out of heaven. Do you know where they are now? No. In this room, floating around. They're in the atmosphere. Why is our media going mad? Why are our politicians going mad? Because devils always seek high places. They go right into the parliament. Hey, you know, Daniel Andrews, good Catholic man. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. The devil goes, okay, I'm going to take you over. That's how it works. Devils seek high places. You already took that one. You know, this has been going on, and the church has been worried about the mortgage, the education, and raising kids that do the dishes on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Not sharp.
Yeah.
So, this is what the Bible says, just so I can unpack it a bit. Hey, we can win this. We can turn this round. Never too late. Never too late. Even if you're, you know, you're in the darkest place, it's never too late. You've got to know what the battle is. How can you win a battle if you don't know? So I reckon God took me out. I looked back and I saw it. Whoa. And then I had this dream, and it was like a dogfight over our city. And I was on the front of my house. It was like an incredible storm. And then, you know, in this dream, I saw people just going out, thinking, just wandering out. Get back in. It was like an urgency. And then one of these was like an F-18 or whatever they are. It was like got hit like a bolt of lightning, but it got thrown to the ground. That's what I saw in my dream. So cool. It was a real dream. Okay, let me open this up to you. Firstly, in the beginning, God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens. First thing he did. The heavens were created by God. And when I talk about the heavens, we're meaning the seen and the invisible realm. The Bible says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That is the third heaven. That's where God lives. Number two, the heavenly places are often called the spirit realm. Because we don't know quite where it is, how it works. Because there's the heavenly places, but it's sort of like the spirit realm is so here. In the room. God's here, yet I know his throne's there. So you've got to switch yourself onto this. So the heavenly places are often called the spirit realm. Paul got called up, you know, in 2 Corinthians 12. It talks about, he said, I knew a man who 14 years ago got called up into the third heaven. He said, I knew a man 14 years ago. So Derek Prince said, I think he's talking about another person. No way. He was talking about himself. Because the man 14 years ago no longer existed.
That's right.
You know, when you meet Jesus like that, you are transformed.
Yeah.
You know, most people are saying that these days. Daniel's prayer in Daniel 10, Daniel prays, he intercedes, and in chapter 10, I'm going to go there because this is cool. I just want you to see the picture. Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. It's hot in here, isn't it? And this is verse 12. He says, it talks about who an angel came to him. Do you know who that angel was?
Jesus.
No? Three angels in the heavens that are known in the scripture. These are the big ones. Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. And Michael's come to Daniel after he's been praying, and he said, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. So his prayer was answered straight away. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had left alone there with the kings of Persia. So in other words, Daniel's prayer on the earth, he prayed, he interceded, but there was a blockage in the second heavens.
Yeah.
Yes. So first heaven, second heaven, third heaven is where God is. So that's a picture of what it is. Number three, the spirit realm is very real. It's all around us. If you could see it just for a moment, when you close your eyes before, hands up if you saw something interesting. You know, it'd be good for you to talk about that amongst yourselves and even pray into that a bit more without getting lost there. The room's full of radio waves, but you can't see them. How many radio signals would be going through this room right now? If the braces on your teeth are tuned to them, you can start to decode. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just kidding. The battle, number four, the battle is in the heavenlies. Where's the battle?
In heaven.
Is there a battle going on?
Yeah.
The battle is the Lord's. I won't stay on this too long, but this is a really cool little book. My message doesn't come out of this, but it reinforces my message. It's Francis Frangipani. It's a book that all mums and dads need, because it talks about the war that's going on. And there's three battlegrounds. And the first battleground is the mind. Because, you know, it's like, you know, when the radio waves, we hear them with our ear, but it's like with the spirit realm, it comes into our mind. And we have a thought. And we're getting educated with it. We're reading it in the press. And it's like our mind has been hijacked. And long before our kids go out to see if it works in the world, our kids have been hijacked. They lost the battle in their mind. So we as the mums and dads need to clear the pathway for our kids to find God the right way when they're really young. So the battle is in the heavenlies. The first one's the mind. Man, have you ever had filthy, vile thoughts come into your mind? Anyone? Is that you? Where did that come from? Have you ever wanted to swear like you wouldn't believe? I should have said, have you ever sworn like you wouldn't believe? Have you ever wanted to swear? Where do those thoughts? Because demons are blasphemous. Does it mean you're bad?
No.
It's like your mind is like a landing strip for the enemy.
Yes.
So it's where you can't sit in front of a TV passively relaxed and what's going on, because your spirit is wide open. The music of the day. A lot of kids, you know, with that, what do they call that metal music? Yeah, like who was that bloke? Kurt Cobain used to put out this music, but his disciples after he suicided, they just one after the other. Because this is spirit. Music is spirit. Do you know how you know music is spirit? Because the third angel, his name was Lucifer. You know, he was regarded as the bright and shining star. He was the worship leader in heaven. This is right. That's why the devil gets into the music. Because guess who's controlling the music on planet Earth? So, you know, you've got to be careful. I really like, you know, things like John Farnham. I like the Little River Band. You know, I like Chicago. I like Electric Light Orchestra. They were my bands. But do you know what? After I go and listen to them for a long time, I feel like I've got to have a wash. Because their spirit, I used to think that Christian music is second rate. Man, some of the Christian music is awesome. So, you know, we've got to tune our lives, because if you sit passively, the demonic powers are looking for a passive spirit. So the first one's the mind. While you're on guard, the devil can't come in the mind. The second one's the church. We've had a few church splits. Why would that happen? Why would Christians do that? Why? It's a second battleground. Because wherever there is unity, God commands his blessing. So unity, when we're at unity, when we're all tuned to the same frequency, when we're all singing the same song, and it doesn't mean we're like robots, we don't believe, you know, don't all barrack for Collingwood. The church, second battleground. Man, when the devil takes over the church, he shuts everything down. But Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's why we've got to come back to the apostolic call on the house. The third battleground is the heavenly realm. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare. Hey, Paul was at war. At the end of it, he said, hey, I've fought the good fight. His apostolic call led him into beatings, stonings, imprisonment, persecution. If we're going to be the real deal, and I'll tell you, the spiritual, the cultural wars are taking us here. 10 years ago, oh, you're a God botherer. It's more serious now.
That's right.
Not if you're a religious church attender, no problem. But if you are a, you know, a true witness, there's a tension there that wasn't there 10 years ago. The culture had shifted, but the church has been asleep. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
and the casting down of every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against God. If there's going to be a national transformation, it's got to start in the house. It's got to start in your own heart, and you've got to win it in your own mind. You've got to reclaim your mind. It is like the church in the nation has lost its mind. The call is to battle. Call us to the battle. We're being called up. I remember the Vietnam War. They just used to call people up if you were between 18 and 22 or whatever it was that called you up. You got the letter? Come in for your assessment. My brother got called up for the Vietnam War. His name's Bill. And now when he went in, they discovered a growth in his side there. And they said, you know, you can't come. We've got to take that out. And I just remember being so thankful that he had that. Do you know what? God's calling us up. Calling us up. I don't want you to think about this every day, every night, we'll go nuts. But I want you to know this. I might explain a few things. Anyway, on with the message. They don't totally understand my sense of humor, do they? We're called to battle. We're called to pray. My message, my points are in there, so I'm not going to go on with it. But one of the things that we're doing is we've been going out and declaring over the region. It's just what God asked me to do. And I want to do that. 5 o'clock, if you want to join us Sunday night, we're going out there. Because it's like in the heavenlies, this is what happens. The heavenlies, God created the church to take back the ground, to displace the principalities and powers. It's the apostolic call on the house. In Ephesians chapter 3:10, you know, it talks about speaking the manifest wisdom to the principalities and powers. So over this region there are principalities and powers. And it's the kingdom of darkness. You ever wondered why you're not winning the battle, why you're not breaking through? Why prayers, the answers to your prayers are being pushed out? Because we haven't had the breakthrough that we need to in the spirit. It's where we need to be a praying church. Need to be a praying church. Praying in the spirit. Praying for the government. Praying for Scott Morrison. Church has not been praying. You know, 1 John 5:14 it says, if we ask anything according to the will of God, we know that he hears us and we know that we have the things that we've asked of him. It's what it says. But it's like this. These days, my prayers get answered a lot more quickly. It's like I'm in the zone of his will. Further I've gone. And it's like you pray and it's like God hears you and answers you. It's like much more effortless. But sometimes we're on the outside and we are aligned with our problems, our lack, our fears, and we're praying into our lack and our fears. But we are not praying into the perfect will of God, the kingdom of God. We're not praying in line with what he wants. So we have no breakthrough on the ground. It's where we've got to pray differently. When we stand up on this platform, you know, it's interesting because years ago I heard teaching about this and I went out to Weir's Crossing. That was my prayer spot. And I started to speak to the principalities and powers. And it was sort of like, I went, whoa. And a voice spoke to me and said, not you. Not now, not alone. Isn't that interesting? See, if you want to deal with principalities and powers. This is how we've got to do it. We've got to do it as a church.
Yes.
And not only our church, other churches in Gippsland. You imagine if everyone started to realize what the real problem is. It's not our government. They are puppets to something that's in the invisible world. Where's all this filth coming from, all this vileness? Do you know, one of the MPs in the UK has said that age of consent needs to be dropped to 10. How can that happen? How can that happen? It's demonic. And the church is just going through the motions of going to church. Do you know what? If you want your breakthrough, if you want to see a breakthrough in the city, we start to come back as one man, one voice, one spirit, and we begin to declare and we begin to speak to principalities and powers.
Yes.
And we do it together. We do it under covering. I know I'm covered. Somebody's got my back. My Father has got my back. I've got yours. You need to have mine. Because we are not dealing with some small thing. You know, because with the heavenlies, when things go on in the heavenlies, like say for instance, everything that happens on the earth adjusts the atmosphere in the heavens. So it's like you walk into a house, what happened here? You know? There's been, do you know, your kids wouldn't know about this, so I don't think it's a problem, but when the time's right, you can talk. But blood sacrifice happens. It's rife in the occultic world. It's rife in the government. This is why we're trying to win it on the ground, but we haven't gone into the heavens as one man to deal with it. That's why some curses remain unbroken. Because, you know, the church has got to rise. You know, one of the scriptures I would read is Mark 3:27. It says, no one can enter the strong man's house unless first he binds the strong man. Now, this is how this works. A strong man is a stronghold. It's something that the devil just owns that. Now, we can pray prayers to bind them, but I don't think that's what it really means. I think it means the church has got to become the stronger man. We've got to become the stronger man, so we come to a place of unity, being on the same page. We pray with one accord. Amen. That's why our kids remain lost. Kids are lost. We've lost a generation in Australia. Tried everything except pray.
Sure.
2 years ago, we spent the whole year praying, and during it, you know, we prayed in tongues for a whole year, and God opened up the stables during that time. It was forceful, governmental, authoritative prayer. But in this season, God wants to teach us how to pray for this season. You know, the unanswered prayers, the lack of breakthrough, the next generation just living under a curse is because we've been happy to pray, God bless me, my wife, my sons, my daughters. Never ever prayed, God, bring your kingdom here. Even if it means I get shaken. And I've been shaken. Sometimes you wonder, what on earth was that? Where did that come from? I believe a lot of Anita's prayer is because the other side, her health conditions have been because there is an other side at work. Some of the things that have happened in my family, there is an other side. And, you know, we need to intercede, pray for our government, for one another, for our pastors. Do you ever pray for me? I never hear it in a prayer meeting. You should pray for me, because if I go off track, guess who else is? Because you don't want to say pray for me. It's like self-centered. But do you know what the Bible says? That's what you do.
Yeah.
Pray for those who are given account for your soul.
Yeah.
My job's not easy. I'm given account for your soul.
That's right.
So you know, when you go a bit like that, that affects me.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't affect, you know, someone else, because they're not accountable. So you've got to pray.
Yeah.
That's how you should pray. God, every day, God, let your kingdom come in my pastor's life.
Yeah.
God, provide every need, keep him safe, and keep him in the way of truth, and bless him.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Pray for those in authority over you.
Yes.
Find this very hard. I just don't know how to pray for Daniel Andrews yet, because he is in authority over me. But the Bible says you pray for your government.
Yeah.
That you would live a peaceful life, that you'd have a peaceful existence. Well, because the church has not been active in this area, we are not going to be able to live at peace for much longer unless it changes. We've got to rise up with governmental authoritative prayer. We've got to pray on our own at home.
Yeah.
We've got to pray with our kids and teach them to pray.
Yeah.
You know, not just little churchy prayers.
Yeah.
It's where kids get messed up. Teach them about the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's we just haven't got it right. You know, we don't want to do what we did with the last generation. Grew up in church, met the just requirement, and now we're out doing drugs, sex, and rock and roll, because it's never real. Hey, we told them Santa Claus was real, but we never told them about the principalities and powers.
Right.
We never told them there's a real devil. He ain't no friendly devil.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. He is not friendly. He is not finished. You know, he realizes that his time's short. We're coming to the end of some time in history. Whether it's the end of days, whether it's the end of time. Dr. Jonathan calls it the end of the sin age, where the church is going to rise. I'm much happier with that. We don't know. But the scripture does say that the adversary knows that his time is short. And the assault on children, I've not seen anything like it. We all should have something to say about this. You know, every one of us needs to get involved, because while we are not standing up in prayer, that devil is advancing like you wouldn't believe. The scripture says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. The church has been asleep post-war. Not vigilant, not in prayer. The Bible says praying in all times, all day. Pray all day.
Yeah.
That's how you pray, not just at prayer meetings.
Yeah.
But you pray all times, being vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks around seeking whom he may devour. Well, I tell you what, I'm hard to get at. I'm an obvious target. But every time I get hit, I get madder and I pray. I seriously do that.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're not aware, you get offended, you get hurt, you get taken out.
Yeah.
Man, I just see it. It's been my history, 25 years. Good people. Good people. I see some warriors in the house. You've got to rise to the call of prayer. Prayer and fasting. Lynn and myself have been doing some fasting. It was really cool, because I didn't feel overly inspired coming to the prayer meeting this morning, because I heard the yabba dabba do all before. And I reckon we've got to go, Lord, teach us how to pray.
Yeah.
We've got to stand up here. We've got to know what's going on. Hey, take a stand on the platform. When we go to Kingsway, step up on the platform. It's better up here. And pray for your kids.
Yes.
A heartfelt prayer.
Yes.
But then don't go home and just be a buffhead like you were. Go home and love them and reach them, you know. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Pray that it would turn around. How did we get to this? How did we get to this? 10 years ago, they all said, every one of them, all our leaders, America and Australia, marriage is sacred. How did that happen? And where was the church? Weak, quiet. How did that happen? Did it worry you for more than 10 minutes? Did it greatly concern you, you know, when you see that now in Australia abortion is our greatest killer? Does it bother you? Or are you okay? Why isn't 10,000 people banging down the door of our parliament and going, do something about this? But, you know, do you know that Daniel Nalaya, when the bill for, you know, they have full-time abortion in Victoria, Daniel Nalaya went to John Brumby at the time, Premier, and he said, what will it take to stop this legislation? He said, it'll take 10,000 on the steps of Parliament. Man, you get 50,000 to the grand final parade. That's our problem. You get 6 or 8 to the Premier. You know? I'm just talking really real. God's want you back. He wants you back. He wants you back. He wants you.
Yes.
He wants you in the prayer, place of prayer. This is how we awaken the sleeping giant. You get filled up by the Holy Ghost in the place of prayer. Then when you get up here, you have not got to drum anything up because you're carrying it in you. You know, it's a hard job. I just don't want to get up and leave one more prayer meeting. Why aren't you doing it? I haven't seen you doing it. Hey, you've been here 3 years now. Come on. You should be leading the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting should be the most self-led meeting. You know, Yongi Cho's church, it grew to over 1 million people. Do you know what happened? The women started praying. They have 30,000 people in the prayer meeting. They have to ring a big bell through the amplifier to get them to stop the church. You know, nothing is an accident in the kingdom of God. Somebody has got to bow their knee and get crazy about prayer. Everything else, this city will be ours if we respond to the call. You know. But there's excuses. Those little darlings, they give every mum a super good excuse. We never use one, you know. We did prayer school in our church. Before I was a pastor, it was the best thing that we ever did. For 40 days we came to prayer. Actually, it was for months. Months. We drove in from Mafra every morning to prayer school with Pastor Len, and we prayed for an hour every morning for months, didn't we? That's why there's something here now. And our kids came. They were there. Kids, school. Taught them that school's more important than prayer, because they put them to bed at night, never bring them to a prayer meeting. It's like we're sealing their exit from the church by our own inaccuracies. What's the difference between you and me? We've got to earn a living. I've got to believe for mine. How we've messed it up. We need an outpouring from heaven that is going to burn up all this stuff. Are you in? Of course you are. But there's nothing worse than just being sort of in, because this kind of preaching just drives you nuts. Very strategic. Yes. And I'm waiting for a day, I'm dreaming for a day when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion. Yes. We are like them. Yes. The dream. Then our mouth will be filled with laughter. Yes. I'll be laughing my head off as they stream down that laneway. Yes. And they go, I need to find your God.
Yes.
I will laugh my head off. Because that's what's coming.
Yes.
But the barrier is a prayerless church.
Yes.
Who just wants to throw up some prayers.
Yeah.
Have a little family altar. Mm. Amen. You're more than that.
Yeah.
You're dangerous.
Yeah.
Christy, you are dangerous.
Yeah.
Your husband is dangerous.
Amen.
Good. And you want to give their life to Christ? I mean, really? Good on you. Walk down here with her and help our friend. You come with me. Anyone else really want to give their life to Christ? I mean, really? Bless you, I'm going to give you a big hug. Welcome home.